Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Karen Conti joins us. Good morning, Karen. Let's talk first about Donald Trump, who will probably announce he's going to run for president in 2024. And some speculate one of the reasons he wants to do this is to shield himself from some criminal charges. What's the deal on this exactly?
I don't think that him declaring or running for president is going to do anything about the possible criminal charges. Right now, there are basically four that I see looming and possible, and that's the Mar-a-Lago documents, of course, the Espionage Act violation, the January 6th insurrection investigation that's going on in Congress that might be referred to the Justice Department. Then there's that Georgia investigation into election interference, and then there's a possible fraud charge in New York as to the individuals of the Trump Organization. So those four that are looming there, I mean, I'm not saying they're going to be brought, but if they are, you know, running for president, I mean, you can run for president and be a felon. So, you know, I think him talking on the election campaign path is going to be a problem because the officials are going to be looking at what he's saying and trying to use that against him. But I don't know that that's going to really impede him.
But doesn't the Department of Justice try to stay out of politics and at the least postpone any investigations of political candidates during campaigns?
They do. They have an informal-ish kind of rule that they don't want to do that. But I just think that they have been investigating him for so long, they meaning different government entities, and I just think that they're not going to invoke that law. I think they're going to proceed ahead with their investigations, and I don't know that they're going to pay attention to that internal rule, but that would be my guess.
Let's talk about this Illinois amendment, the right to collective bargaining measure that was on the ballot yesterday. Can you explain this and what happened with this?
Well, we don't know. I mean, the last I have checked, and I checked early this morning, that it was too close to call. And so you need I think there was a 3/5 of a vote for passage of it. You know, it's kind of a strange thing because it's an amendment that adds to our Constitution the idea that we have a right to collective bargaining unions. And we really don't need that in the Constitution, but detractors of the bill say it's going to raise taxes because governmental pension groups will be empowered and they will then, you know, pull on the money from the government. But people who are pro-union say that it's going to stop these right-to-work laws, which allow people to opt out of union membership if there's a union house that you're working for. So, you know, it's really hard to see what's going to happen if it passes one way or the other because it's going to be a long-term thing. And I think the thing that we can predict is going to happen if it passes is we're going to have lots of lawsuits and lots of lawyers staying busy litigating what this really means.
Also in the news today, a woman who recently settled the lawsuit in which she had claimed to have been sexually trafficked to Prince Andrew and others by Jeffrey Epstein has dropped a similar claim against attorney Alan Dershowitz. She said she may have erred in accusing him. What's the story behind this, do you think?
It's Virginia Giuffre, and she was the one who accused Epstein, and she also accused Prince Andrew, and she did have him settle that case by donating money to her charity. And she had stepped back and said, you know, maybe I was mistaken. They issued a kind of a joint statement, which was kind of a nice thing. He said, you know, I appreciate that she brought things to the attention of the public, but I didn't do it. And she said, I may have been mistaken. So it looks like there's a mutual settlement, and there's no more lawsuit. Interesting. Very, very interesting.
Quite an ironic story and a tragic one about this Florida lawyer who thought that motorcycle helmets should be a choice rather than a requirement. Tell us what happened here.
Yeah, well, he was riding on a motorcycle with his girlfriend without a helmet, and he got in an accident and died. You know, it's not, you know, it's irony, it's not funny, but, you know, it's just very, very interesting that he fought for his entire life against motorcycle helmet laws and requirements, and here he died of a motorcycle accident. It's interesting, and you know, while I was looking at this, Bob, do you know that Illinois is only one of three states in the country that does not mandate motorcycle helmets? Hmm. I didn't know that.
Florida passed a law in 2000 that allowed motorcyclists older than 21 to ride without helmets if they had $10,000 in insurance coverage for injuries. Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And the whole theme is, like, you know, those who ride should decide, and then there's the side that says that those who pay should have a say. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's so many motorcycle accidents, and the government ends up paying in some way, shape, or form for those damages.
And finally, I guess this is the story, the faux pas of the week as far as business executives go. what happened to this Tyson Foods CFO?
Yeah, the Tyson Foods CFO, he's, you know, standing in line to, you know, take over this $30 billion entity. And I guess he gets drunk on some binge, and he goes and he gets into the wrong house. He gets in, I don't know how he gets in the house. He goes into bed, goes to sleep. The woman comes in and finds him in bed. And, you know, he's now charged with disorderly conduct and public intoxication and all of those things. And, you know, again, I was looking into this. This is not an uncommon thing. This happens all the time. But what's weird about this, Bob, is that I looked up this neighborhood, and this neighborhood has huge homes. You can imagine in Fayetteville, Arkansas, what you could get if you earn the millions that this guy does. And I have no idea how he mistook his house for some other house, but
yeah,
he's in trouble.
Did. Chief Financial Officer John Tyson, he's the son of the board chairman. Oops.
Right, and the other thing is, there's this other COO of a company called Beyond Meat, who was also arrested just recently for biting someone's nose. So I'm thinking my high protein diet, I guess.
Karen Connie, attorney at County Law. Thank you, Karen.
All right, have a good
talk
day.
To you next week.